Please read the first item.
Item 1019, adopt the new Chinatown, Japantown Historic District Design Guidelines.
The purpose of this hearing is to adopt new design guidelines for the new Chinatown, Japantown Historic District. Historic District Design Guidelines are discretionary land use approval criteria that apply to alterations, additions, and new construction projects. New Chinatown, Japantown was listed in the National Register of Historic Places in 1989 for architecture, culture, and Chinese and Japanese history, and it's the only historic district in Portland significant for its association with ethnic history. Following adoption of the guidelines, development in the historic district will honor the rich legacy of those Chinese and Japanese Portlanders who made the historic district their home from the 1880s up to the present time. So with that, Brandon, why don't you, if you could introduce your name for the record and jump right into your presentation.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. Brandon Spencer Hartle, Historic Resources Program Manager at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I have a brief overview of the new Chinatown Japantown design guideline process and the specifics of the design guideline. We do have invited testimony here today from the Historic Landmarks Commission, which is the recommending body for these guidelines. So to kick things off, I thought I would do a quick background on the historic district in question. New Chinatown Japantown is a National Register of Historic Places district north of Burnside Street, and I'll use the cursor here to give a little bit more context. The historic district is a 10-block district between Northwest 3rd Avenue, Northwest 5th Avenue, Burnside, and Gleason. The Chinatown Gate is a focal point and entry into the historic district on 4th Avenue, and the Chinese Garden is just outside of the historic district between 3rd and 4th. The historic district does overlap with the Skidmore Old Town Historic District, and some of you who have been on council for a couple of years, remember we came before you about a year and a half ago with design guidelines for that historic district. This is the next in our process of updating and developing design guidelines for the central city. And as a quick orientation to this map, and for those of you who may be new to historic districts, in the historic district we have contributing historic buildings, which are buildings that are from the historic period and have associations with the Chinese and Japanese occupants of the district or are architecturally meritorious. And we also have non-contributing buildings, which are newer buildings or buildings that don't have that historic significance. In historic districts, the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission and the Bureau of Development Services review new construction, addition, and alteration projects, and the contributing historic buildings are subject to a Type 4 demolition review in front of this body. Historic resource review, as I mentioned, is a discretionary land use review process that applies in all of our National Register historic districts. It's administered by the Bureau of Development Services, and larger projects go before the Historic Landmarks Commission. In the new Chinatown Japantown Historic District, the approval criteria today are the River District Design Guidelines and the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines. But because we have not developed historic district-specific approval criteria, the Historic Landmarks Commission and Bureau of Development Services staff look for those guidelines in those umbrella Central City Guidelines to look at issues of compatibility, alterations, and how to treat historic resources. What is being recommended is adoption of district-specific design guidelines to replace the more general river district design guidelines, but to continue to have the central city fundamental design guidelines also apply. And that would be consistent with other central city historic districts where we do have district-specific design guidelines. We got started on the development of the New Chinatown Japantown Historic District Design Guidelines about a year and a half ago. The project was a partnership between Prosper Portland and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability with the input of a 10-member stakeholder advisory committee and the Historic Landmarks Commission. The guidelines were identified as a priority in the West Quadrant Plan. And in the development of the guidelines process, we did hold multiple community open houses, briefings, and work sessions with the Landmarks Commission and Planning and Sustainability Commission, ultimately resulting in a recommendation, a unanimous recommendation of the Historic Landmarks Commission to adopt the guidelines before you today. And what we are recommending is adoption of these guidelines prior to your vote on the larger Central City 2035 plan. Just quickly, in terms of how design guidelines and this set of design guidelines are organized, there are three chapters in the guidelines. The first two chapters provide background and orientation. Chapter 3 is what will serve as the land use approval criteria. And specifically, we offer design guidelines for all projects called general design guidelines, but then specific guidelines for alterations, additions, and new construction. And again, only Chapter 3 serves as land use approval criteria. When you look through the design guideline document, every specific design guideline has a one-sentence statement about what that guideline intends to achieve and is accompanied by examples and further narrative description to assist an applicant in what their approach to meeting that guideline might look like. I pulled a few example design guidelines just to give you a flavor of what they look like. Guideline A1, which is in the general design guidelines section, really underpins the larger set of design guidelines by encouraging applicants to integrate authentic Chinese and or Japanese design elements in keeping with district character. The guidelines provide examples of what that might look like, ranging from larger than usually allowed signs, balconies, awnings, textured storefronts, other approaches that really do honor the history of this district and speak to the unique aesthetic qualities that were brought about by Chinese and Japanese occupants of the district during its historic period. Other design guidelines put into place approval criteria that are consistent with how the Landmarks Commission reviews alterations and additions in historic districts and provides that clarity to an applicant about what the land use approval process will be seeking to gain approval. And with that, I will end my presentation. We can talk in more detail about specific guidelines if you'd like, but I do want to make sure that the Landmarks Commission has an opportunity to give you some more context on these design guidelines and how they'll be applied.
Very good. Thank you, Brandon. Are there any questions of Brandon before we move along? I'd like to invite Wendy Chung from the Landmarks Commission to come up and provide some invited testimony. Thank you, Brandon.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Good afternoon.
Commissioner Udaly, Fritz, Commissioner Saltzman. I'm Wendy Chung. I'm testifying on behalf of the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission regarding the adoption of the new Chinatown-Japantown Historic District design guidelines that Brandon described. As Mayor Wheeler pointed out early in this hearing, this historic district is unique in that it's the only district in Portland that's primarily significant for its association with ethnic history. Sadly, you know, a lot of the cultural significance, the ostensive cultural history seems to have dissipated in that there's a lot of growth in this district, and it's really exciting to us. And as a commission, we see a lot of projects come in Old Town Chinatown, Japantown, that we're really excited about. We are enormously enthusiastic about these design guidelines because it's going to make our jobs a lot easier. What I mean by that is that it will, as Brandon commented, encourage the use of design elements and architectural styles that authentically express the Chinese and Japanese history of the district while allowing for development to replace surface parking lots and rehabilitation and reuse of the underutilized buildings. I think most importantly, the adoption of these guidelines will provide some clarity and consistency to the applicants, because oftentimes we get applicants who, you know, have these great projects, but they don't have a clear idea of what is expected in terms of our design review and they're gaining approval. I know the commission has previously testified before this body concerning similarly heights. I know my colleague Kristen Miner was here last week, and she spoke to that issue, FAR and heights and whatnot. And I know that the rest of this hearing is going to be dedicated to talking about the Central City Plan generally. But as Vice Chair Miner mentioned last week, you know, those types of expectations that are established early on really do make our jobs a lot easier, so that when developers come in or applicants come in with these great projects, we can point to a specific guideline or a specific approval criteria that will allow us to approve their projects more expediently and, you know, make sure that our expectations align with theirs in terms of compatibility. I think this is particularly crucial in Chinatown, Japantown, because of the fact that it's our only ethnically significant historic district. And as Brandon mentioned, we do have district-specific guidelines in other historic districts. I think that the key here is getting an authentic, being more likely to get authentic elements, design elements in the plans that we see. So, do you have any questions, or can I add anything?
Well, first, thank you very much for your service on the commission and for your taking the time to come today. I believe that Commissioner Minor asked last week for a specific approval criterion, saying you may not be able to get all the Houghton FAR and still meet these guidelines. Do you believe that the guidelines we're talking about today, do they have enough of that language in, or would you like to see something further?
You know, ideally, Commissioner Fritz, I would like to see what I guess the Landmarks Commission has called right zoning, because I don't think that the FAR and height limits match what's in the design guidelines, either the current guidelines, the River District, et cetera, or the new guidelines. So I do think that there is still a gap in terms of compatibility, and even though our code, as you know, places the design review criteria above the base zone, there's still this perception that that more can be built than can be. I think the problem with that actually goes to the cost of the land and the buildings, right? Because somebody could say, well, I could build, 120 feet or something here, and then I could get, I could perhaps, place a higher price on that parcel because of that. And then it's disappointing to the applicant when they get to by the time they get to us as a design review applicant, they don't understand why they can't build to that, because it, is incompatible with the district or doesn't meet these guidelines. So what I would like to see in terms of, since you're asking, it would be great if we could have some right zoning of the heights and FAR. When I say right zoning, what I mean is I'm not talking about down zoning. I think the density is great. And by the way, I will say that, Chinatowns across the country historically have occupied some of the most dense parts of our inner cities. And sadly, with gentrification, oftentimes they get pushed out to the suburbs because, the buildings become more expensive, the land becomes more expensive. The disjointedness between the FAR and the heights and the design criteria exacerbate that problem because it makes it more valuable. And I know we have a lot of affordable housing units in proposed and in Chinatown, Japantown now, and I'm hoping that will continue, because I would just hate to see all the development in that area be limited to, that which, would pencil out given the inflated pricing.
Well, it's as you said earlier, we should have clear expectations so that everybody knows. So
exactly.
Since this historic district is a relatively small area, I would certainly appreciate hearing from the Landmarks Commission in the next couple of weeks which are the sites where you're thinking that it's going to be really difficult to allow what's the height and FAR.
Absolutely.
That would
be
very
happy
helpful.
To.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. And I would just add that, with respect to the size of this district, I'm sure the commission and mayor know, only 2% of the entire city is historic, designated historic anyway. So this is a very teeny tiny part of that 2%. But yet we appreciate the opportunity and really look forward to providing that information to you.
Thank you. And if there are contributing or historic buildings in the West End and elsewhere, I'm particularly interested in the commission's advice to
yes.
see where we can set really clear expectations so that nobody goes home
disappointed. And actually, now that you mention it, Commissioner Fritz, the West End and other parts of the Central City contain a lot of over 200 historic buildings that are not listed either in a district or individually listed. Those are really vulnerable to demolition because of the fact that, they're, and many of them do occupy affordable housing units. For instance, there's a building on 12th and Alder, I think it is, that has a 55 and over affordable housing and a small business, a small local business in its main floor. That may not be possible if those heights, as proposed in the Central City 2035 plan, go forward, because, there would not be an incentive to maintain those buildings, but instead to demolish them and put in luxury. I'm not opposed to luxury townhomes or luxury buildings, but it's just, I think we need more affordable housing, obviously, and more affordable not only housing but businesses, so that local businesses, both in the West End as well as in Chinatown, can still operate. I'm probably going off the rails here, but my family had operated a small business in a dense urban area, and we couldn't have done that if we had to pay exorbitant rents because of gentrification.
I'll be certainly looking out for your further feedback. Thank you very much. Appreciate your diligence.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Are there any other elected officials or member of city commissions who'd like to testify first? Very good. Carla, please call up how many people do we have signed up for this item?
10.
We have 10. 2 minutes each. State your name for the record, please. Carla, we'll call you up in order.
Okay. The first three are Tracy Prince, Helen Ying, and Peggy Moretti.
Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Tracy Prince. I've researched and written about Portland's Chinese and Japanese history in all three of my Portland history books. I'm testifying today representing the Architectural Heritage Center. Research is clear that the most affordable and most sustainable building is the one already built. We believe that saving our historic buildings in the central city saves massive amounts of affordable housing units. There have been efforts to diminish the importance of culture and ethnicity as reflected in the district's architecture and to focus instead on architects and builders of importance. The Architectural Heritage Center supports these design guidelines, which focus more on the recent place matters understanding of historic preservation rather than emphasizing architects. We support efforts to encourage the use of upper story setbacks and balconies, to use compatible building materials, matching cornice lines, and similar massing in order to contribute to rather than contradict the overall fabric and Asian aesthetic of the district. The architectural characteristics most clearly identified with the Chinese community in Chinatown are the use of red and sand-colored brick, second-floor balconies with wrought iron railings, and first-floor storefronts, which often had mid-floor sleeping lofts or balconies. These buildings were all 1 to 3 story high, and infill should reflect this historic character. Though some people may argue for increased heights in the district, and this is going to the issues that Wendy raised, many of those are property owners who have benefited from the tax breaks of owning a building in the historic district. They should not be able to have it both ways. A tax break when the building was standing, and then receive increased heights to encourage demolition of Portland's important Chinese and Japanese history. The Architectural Heritage Center supports the proposed heights of 125 feet, even though that may still be too high to protect Portland's Chinese and Japanese heritage. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Helen Ying. I'm going to wear two hats today. So first, I'm going to wear the hat of representing the Chinese American Citizens Alliance, Portland Lodge. And so I'm going to first share a quote from Alan Speer, whom I just met in D.C. He represents the National Parks Conservative Association, where he says, "The absence of our people in the historical landscape of our country is in itself a civil rights matter." And I think that's why I'm here today. Tomorrow, we're dedicating a plaque. A gift that we gave to the city, and Commissioner Saltzman will be there with us on 2nd and Pine in front of the Pine Street Market. And that is a plaque dedicated to commemorate the history and contribution of Chinese Americans to Oregon, to Portland. So that's where the old Chinatown was. But does anybody know about it? Of course not, because nothing would tell us about that. So that is why it's so important that we have these design guidelines to preserve the history in the new Chinatown, Japantown. And along that line, now I'm going to switch hat as the chair of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association. We had represented our voice on the Design Guideline Committee, and we fully support what they are proposing. So thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Peggy Moretti. I'm representing Restore Oregon, the statewide historic preservation nonprofit for Oregon. And I was also pleased to represent us on the committee that drafted the design guidelines for New Chinatown, Japantown. We enthusiastically support their adoption. And I wanted to share that arriving at these guidelines posed some really unique challenges because of the cultural and architectural aspects that need to be considered in them. But I really do believe, with all of the really careful and detailed conversations that we all went through examining and arriving at these, that we do strike a good balance here with these guidelines that addressed both aspects and also afford ample flexibility for development and for good compatible infill. I think it's really important, given the significant and large outsized development pressures right now in the central city, that council consider how easily this very small sized, very rare and unique district could be overwhelmed and swallowed up by inappropriate new development. These guidelines, coupled with the city's support of reduced heights and your support of the Landmarks Commission, who is going to have no small task of threading the needle here with all of this, really are going to be essential to ensure that the history and the character of the district are not lost. It is so small and so precious. The direction and clarity that these guidelines present will, I think, make for a much better opportunity for good new development, and will just really bless the entire city so that we can pass this forward to new generations. Thank you.
Thank you, all three of you, for your testimony. We appreciate it. And these folks clearly understood it. I'll just remind people, council rules require any lobbyists to please disclose that you are a lobbyist. And if you're here representing an organization, that's obviously helpful as well. Next three, please, Carla.
Our Marcus Lee, Roberta Wong, and Jackie Peterson Loomis.
Welcome. Sir, why don't you go ahead, please?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come before you today. My name is Marcus Lee. I'm here as a private individual, member of Portland's Chinese community. I try to give back to my community by volunteering my time, serving on a number of boards having to do with the Chinese community, the Oregon Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association, Portland's Lee Family Association, Portland Chinatown Historic Foundation, History Foundation, and Lone Fir Cemetery Foundation, where we are working on Block 14. Excuse me, in Metro's Lone Fir Cemetery, which is a pioneer Chinese cemetery. My background is I'm born and raised here in Portland. My history of my dad's side of the family is fairly common for the Chinese community, a number of members in the Chinese community, and that my great-grandfather came here in the latter half of the 1800s, set up a Chinese general merchandise shop named Kuang Song Wa in the original Chinatown down on Southwest 2nd between Washington and Alder. That building no longer stands on that location. Over time, as Chinatown moved over to Northwest Portland, their store then moved over, the family store moved over to what is now the northwest corner of 4th and Flanders, and used to occupy a ground level storefront there in a building which is no longer there. My family, my dad's side, resided under the Rainier Hotel, which no longer stands. I think that as Brandon showed in his presentation, we have a couple of shining examples of what can be done. The former Sui Sing building, the Society Hotel. Is that my time?
Yeah, but you go, please,
okay,
continue.
Thank you.
You've got your notes.
So I am here to support the new historic guidelines. I believe this is a time for Portland to honor the Chinese and Japanese communities' contributions in our history of place and the contributions to the building of Portland, the state of Oregon, as well as the Pacific Northwest. And we ask that you please join us in supporting the passage of the historic guidelines to help us preserve what we have left in order for us to be able to pass it on to future generations. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Roberta May Wong. I'm a resident of Portland, born and raised in Southeast Portland, and I share my testimony in favor of the Portland New Chinatown Japantown Historic District Guidelines. In 1930, my grandfather, Sun Yuk Wong, became the proprietor of Tuck Lung Grocery, a Chinese business located at 309 Northwest 4th. Subsequent generations carried on the family business. My father, Francis G. Wong, relocated the business in 1962 to the Overland Building on Northwest 4th and Davis, and they added a luncheon cafe whose popularity led to the business' third and final expansion in 1977 by my brother, Albert Wong. A new two-story building was built, the first new construction post-World War II in the district, and the first by a Chinese resident or a Chinatown business since the Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association was erected in 1911. It's located at 140 Northwest 4th on Davis, where the new Tuck Lung Grocery, restaurant, and lounge spurred a revitalization in Portland's Chinatown, leading to the Chinatown Gate and the creation of the new Chinatown Japantown Historic District. In the 50s, with the change in property laws, most Chinese and Japanese left the areas to buy their home in other quadrants of the city. By the 60s, only a few Japanese businesses remained, and Chinatown consisted of two grocery stores, a handful of restaurants, and a curio gift shop. On weekends, Chinese families would return to enliven the streets of Chinatown. During the 70s, Tuck Lung's lunchtime popularity developed patronage from downtown professionals and workers, broadening Chinatown's appeal beyond the Chinese community. Consequently, with the growing influx of new Chinese Asian immigrants. In the 80s, Chinatown experienced a mini renaissance with the new business, started by the Chinese immigrants, adding to Chinatown's economic prosperity. In the 90s and the 20s, we saw that Chinatown, with the closure of Tuck Lung's, the closure of Tuck Lung's, but also provided an opportunity for other businesses to fill the void. What solidified Chinatown over the years, however, was the city's investment, guided by the Portland Development Commission, PDC, now Prosper Portland, and community support for the Chinatown Gate, the Lanzhou Garden, and the Festival Streets. PDC's financial support of the new Portland Chinatown Museum is a new investment which signals its continuing support of the new Chinatown, Japantown Historic District, and of Chinatown's sustainability and growth. The passing of the new Chinatown, Japantown Historic District guidelines will assure that the cultural continuity of the area will be respected and the district's development will be monitored and guided with the intent to maintain the historical integrity of a community's past and future. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a wonderful history, and we appreciate you sharing it with us. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners Udaly, Fritz, and Salzman. My name is Jacqueline Peterson Loomis. I live at 2427 Northeast Mason, and I'm a longtime advocate worker in the fields in Old Town Chinatown since the late 90s. I'm also currently the executive director of the Portland Chinatown History Foundation, and we are about to build, we are building a new museum for Portland in Chinatown. We are acquiring a building at Northwest Davis and 3rd, the Keita building. We sit across the street from the CCVA, the Society Hotel, the Merchant Hotel with its soon-to-be Starbucks. Something tells us that something's happening in Old Town, and a block from the Lanzhou Garden. We are in an enviable position, even though I think that a year ago we would have thought this was impossible. But with tremendous support from the Chinese community and from the current owner and from PDC, it looks as though we're going to be open in the spring of 2018. We are in many ways, I think, a recipient even before they're passed of the new design guidelines, and in fact they have helped to inform and perhaps even to encourage us to move forward. I think that the museum was spurred by the promise of revitalization and long-term sustainability for a new Chinatown that is embedded in Prosper Portland's new Chinatown Japantown design guidelines and its five-year plan for Old Town. Our organization sees the museum as an early example of what the guidelines can offer, and future owners of historic buildings in the district and developers of infill can learn from. We're developing in two phases. We have a building that's one story. It was remodeled in the 20s, so it's not even contributing. But rather than even contemplate demolition, we're going to be opening by completely restoring the inside, meeting all city codes and adding sprinklers. And adding, you'll be very surprised, you're going to see an absolutely first-rate museum when it opens in the spring. But our long-term plan is, in about 5 years from now, basically, is to build up five stories with inset floors for housing, for student and affordable housing that would include a museum on the first floor and perhaps even much-needed parking below. We think we can adapt the guidelines. We can use neon. We can use balconies. We can use brick. We can create a sense, at least, of the old without being fake. I want to close simply by saying that the elders for whom I have worked for many years and who many are in this audience today who are our board members, these are people who grew up in a neighborhood where they could not own property, so none of these buildings were built by them. That's the irony, that the district ends in 1943, the very year that they're given citizenship and the right to own land. And so the architecture we're dealing with here were created by others, and they embellished it. So much of the look of Chinatown that we're all trying to restore has to do with signage, with neon lighting, with balconies, with the sort of character that we can find in historic photographs and what still remains. It is fragile, but that's precisely what the historic nomination meant. Let me just leave you two sentences. These are the first and last lines of the Statement of Significance, Criterion A, which is historic. This is 1989. The Chinatown Historic District is nationally significant under Criterion A for its history as the largest and most intact Chinatown in Oregon. It is locally significant as the largest remaining and most viable example of the Chinese ethnic community. Last line, the district is evaluated in the context of the ethnic heritage of the Chinese people and the development and growth of the Chinese community in Portland. I hope that you'll be able to help us save this really very important and precious community. Thank you.
And folks, obviously I took a little bit of latitude with the time restrictions here because I think it's important for all of us to hear the historical context by which these guidelines were developed. So I took some latitude, but please be aware of the fact that 2 minutes goes super quickly. So amend your notes accordingly. Thank you, all three of you, for your excellent testimony. We sure appreciate it. Next three.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for being here.
Next three are Sarah Stevenson, Lynn Fuchigami Parks, and Ruth Ann Barrett.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I'll jump in and start quickly. I'm Sarah Stevenson. I'm here today as co-chair of the Land Use and Design Review Committee of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association. And I just wanted to say thank you to the city and to Prosper Portland and to the volunteers who worked on the stakeholder advisory group for developing these guidelines, for putting in the time, for doing it quickly, because it was very important to our community that these guidelines be in place before the zoning and height changes come before you and take effect. Our community association has heard from our constituents and has long advocated for these guidelines to help balance the sometimes conflict between development of the area that is coming and is happening and the historic context and the historic fabric that is so important that you've heard about today. So just wanted to let you know the community association stands in full support. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your leadership.
Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, my name is Lynn Fuchigami Parks, and I'm the executive director for Oregon Nikkei Endowment, and we're a nonprofit whose major projects have the Japanese American History Museum and the Japanese American Historical Plaza along the waterfront, also known as the Bill of Rights Memorial, and all located in this part of town that was once a very vibrant Japan town up until 1942, when, of course, an unconstitutional executive order caused it to disappear overnight. So I'm here also to testify in support of the recommended draft of the Historic District Design Guidelines. The proposed guidelines envision celebrate the cultural and multi-ethnic history of New Chinatown and Japantown, as well as highlight the district's importance to the city of Portland's past, present, and future identity. And this is verbiage that was borrowed from the guidelines because I felt it was so well articulated. The guidelines create a thoughtful framework that will allow transformation to occur in a manner that brings vibrancy to the district while retaining the significant cultural and architectural qualities that make this historic district so unique and one that our city really needs to treasure. A great deal of time, energy, and effort went into its creation, and the opportunity for community input was both appreciated and clearly considered. And I'd like to thank, again, the same entities that made this, for their hard work and commitment to establish these guidelines that really strike a balance to support both the retention of existing historic resources and encouragement of compatible development, but all with respect to the preservation of the district's cultural significance and authentic character, something that we were very concerned that was at risk without these kinds of guidelines.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Ruth Ann Barrett, and I live in the historic district. And I don't mean to speak for everybody who lives there, but I will speak for myself. And I totally support guidelines like this. I only have two comments. One is process.
I think the assisted listening device is interfering with the microphone.
I can't hear
you. The assisted listening device, if you could turn it, move it away or maybe turn it off for a minute.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know how to turn it off. Oh, wait. Sorry. Yeah. My electronics are not under control. Anyway, I'm totally for the guidelines. I only have two issues. One, process. To my knowledge, there were no residents involved in these guidelines, in the design guidelines. I was told that they couldn't find any. Anyway, so I think that's a process problem, not just generic to these, but in our neighborhood in general, and I would like to see it addressed in the future. We apparently, as residents, are not stakeholders, which I found interesting. The second thing is, and you will hear it and have heard it, is that the idea of land use, and Sarah and I had discussed this, is that, you know, it's the buildings, it's land, but for me, it's who's using the land. And if we don't address that, we'll have Starbucks in a kind of building that looks Chinese. We have no neighborhood serving businesses, so we have no green grocer, Chinese or Japanese style. We have no pet store. We don't. And as a resident of this neighborhood, you buy everything. I mean everything outside of Chinatown. And yet, the Chinese, as I have experienced them in my life, are some of the best in the world at providing neighborhood servicing businesses. In fact, I think they're the best. So unless we look at land use and look at development with an eye to what is called, I believe, a retail strategy, in the end, I don't think we're going to get exactly what it is that we are imagining. Thank you.
Yeah, well said. And the complete neighborhood strategy would embrace what you just said. So
otherwise,
thank you for that. That's an important perspective. Thank you all for being here this afternoon. Next three, please, Carla.
I believe the last person I have is Wayne Trantow.
Is Wayne here?
Wayne.
Is it Wayne or Dwayne?
It looks like a W to me. On
is there somebody
Southwest
who signed
Washington?
Up who has not been called yet? Oh, okay. Well, let's wait 30 more seconds just to make sure we don't miss out on somebody.
We asked nobody is over there to testify for this item.
Okay. So very good. So the record will be left open for written testimony until Friday, September 15th at 5 p.m. So if people who are hearing this would like to continue to provide written testimony, you're certainly allowed and encouraged to do so. That's until Friday, September 15th at 5 p.m. Deliberations on this item will be held on September 28th at 4 p.m. here at Portland City Hall in the Council Chamber. Carla, please read the next item.